Hey everyone, welcome to the Stories of Language Learners. I'm your host, Charles. Wow, it's been a while since the last time I was here. Sorry for taking so long to release a new episode. I was on vacation, but now I am back. Today, I have a special guest that I'm really thrilled to introduce to you. Today's guest is Teacher Vinny. He's the founder of Diprofi, Praprofi. He used to teach English, but now his focus is on helping teachers save more time, make more money, and have more students. His YouTube channel has over 3 million views. Plus, he has more than 70 courses with over 15,000 students. I am so happy that Teacher Vinny took the time and accepted my invitation to be on the podcast. I usually ask 1 hour of the guest's time, but Teacher Vinny was so generous to stay with me during the recording for 1.5 hours. Please go and connect with Teacher Vinny and show him some love. In the show notes, you guys can find his website and all his socials. Here are some of the things we talked about. Teacher Vinny shared with us his English learning journey, the importance of having curiosity about your target language. Do we need to just live abroad or just have classes with native English speakers in order to learn English? Tips and advice for creating your online course. The importance of enjoying the learning process. Tools that teachers should use or at least try. Living a digital nomad life to find a place to live. I truly had a blast chatting with Teacher Vinny, and I'm sure that you guys are gonna love this episode. Learning a new language changed my life, and I'm sure that it can change yours too. One of my main goals with this podcast is to share amazing and inspiring stories from other learners, so we all can stay motivated and get inspired over and over again. I hear on a daily basis how much you guys love and appreciate the show. So now you can support the work I've been doing with this podcast by becoming a member on Patreon. All the financial support there will go to the podcast and our community. Also, by becoming a member on Patreon, you'll get extra content. The link to join us on Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your support. I was having some technical problems. That's why I'm late. Sorry. I'm already recording, but I have a few things that I would like to share with you before going to the questions. You are so kind for doing this. Thank you so much for your time and for coming here. I so appreciate it.
I know. Awesome. By the way, I was having technical problems as well.
Oh, wow. So today is the technical problem day, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just moved into a new city, to a new place, and I've gotten a new computer as well. And I've been using this computer for what, like half a week, a few days, really. And I still haven't figured out why my headset is not working. My microphone is working, everything else is working, but the headset isn't. And actually, I just tried it directly on the CPU. It works, but it's quite distant. So I'm just going to use stereo phones. By the way, can you hear echo of your own voice? No.
No, everything is good.
Okay, so right now your voice is coming out of Alexa.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay, so let me introduce myself before starting officially with the episode, just so you know a little bit about me, a little background. So my name is Charles. I'm also from Brazil. I am from Rio Grande do Sul State. I started this crazy podcasting journey back in March of 2020 with the whole craziness of the pandemic. I found myself having so much more free time because I had to move back to my hometown where I'm living right now. And I started working remotely, and I thought to myself, maybe I should use this free time in a productive way. I love talking with other learners, knowing their stories, and I need to find a way to keep practicing my speaking skills. I am a podcast lover, so I thought to myself, I'm going to start a podcast called Stories of Language Learners, and I'm going to interview language learners from all around the globe. And it's been like 3 years by now. I still do this. And yes, what else? Oh, professionally, I work in the tech industry. I work in a tech company.
Oh, nice. So you're not a teacher?
No.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, it's so funny because I get flattered when people call me teacher. They always say, hi, teacher. Or people, they send me lots of messages asking if I am like doing online classes or things like that, which is so interesting. But this is why I found you. We are going to get into this.
Okay. Very nice.
Awesome. Okay. I love your background, by the way. Is this real, your background?
Yeah, it's real. It's real. Okay, I can take them. It's still unfinished because, as I said, I just moved in and I still need to do a few things here, and some furniture still hasn't arrived. Also, there is a painter coming here on Monday. Yes, on Monday afternoon. We're going to redecorate the walls. It's going to go gray, the walls. You know, the cimento quemado color.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having these both those walls painted in gray, and there's going to be a second one of those shelves added as well. A pegboard here. It's going to be a bit different. This here is a home office, right? It's an office / gaming room. My girlfriend loves gaming as well with me. So this place, I'm not sure if I can. I think I can do it. Yeah, I know I can't because the wires.
No problem.
But yeah, the screen, it rotates, and there are some armchairs on the side, so we can play together.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so let's get it started. So could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, very nice. Well, I'm Vinny, right? I'm Vinny Giamoncino, and I've been an English teacher forever, really. I started with IT. I started teaching IT when I was 16 years old. For 2 years, I taught IT because English schools wouldn't take me. And then when I turned 18, that's when I started teaching English. And in fact, I've been an English teacher since then, but for the past 3 years, I've cut down on students, on English teaching itself, and I've started directing my work more towards teachers. So at Prof Pra Prof, which is my company nowadays. Actually, what day is today? Today is the 22nd. Yeah, at the 30th, in about a week, the 30th is going to, we're going to turn 9 years old at the company. So it's been almost 9 years that I've been working with teachers and producing online content and online courses for teachers. And, not just because I've always been a teacher as a profession, but also it gives me great joy also because I've reached a few numbers that really make me proud. You know, when you go to my YouTube channel, for example, we've got almost 3 million views by now, and it's all by teachers. You know, it's almost 3 million times that a teacher somewhere in the country or somewhere in the world clicked and watched something that could be useful for them, and that I actually taught a little bit of something I know for them. And of course, it's a profitable company, right? So of course I seek to sell courses and to make money out of it, and I talk about money all the time. But it's really nice, you know, to see that the work has reached so far. You know exactly how that feels. You reach a lot of different, over 100 different countries. So it's really nice. I feel really good about it. It gives me really joy, and I feel really proud.
Yeah. And it gives you like a sense of motivation to keep going, right? Because
Excellent.
there are a lot of challenges that comes our way when we create a project, right? And I felt that way when I started this podcast. I thought to myself, nobody's going to listen to this. What am I doing? I have no idea what I'm doing. I know nothing about podcasting. And I had the desire that to connect with people and have these conversations. And I knew that this would be so helpful for language learners out there, so I decided to keep going. And now I can look back that all the hard work was worth it, all the challenges. And yeah, it's incredible. I can totally relate to that. So here is some background how I ended up finding Vini. You guys, as I mentioned, sometimes people send me messages, oh, teacher, are you giving classes or something like that? Or sometimes people, they ask me English related questions for me to help them. And I always had the desire to help Brazilians, because unfortunately, like, the reality here in Brazil is kind of sad when it comes to English fluency, right? So we have a lot to improve, and I wish that more people in my family, my friends, they would be interested in learning this language, because learning English, it was a life-changing experience for me. This language opened so many doors, not only in my professional life, but also in my personal life. And I always had the desire that, oh, maybe I should start helping Brazilians. And you know, when people ask you the same question over and over again, I thought to myself, oh, this question is the idea for an online course, and maybe I should create like something like that. And I thought that, oh, maybe I could give like classes, private classes, but the reality is that it would be crazy. I don't have time to give one-on-one classes, but the idea of offering like a course, I think, would be great. So I started to search about it, and then I came across Vini YouTube channel, and then I connect with him on Instagram, and then we ended up talking. I invited him to be here, and I'm so glad you came.
And you know what, that message you sent me right before you invited me, I am actually thinking about starting a new podcast on my own, and but I've set my eyes on a very specific kind of podcast, and in which I would interview a few of my clients, a few of the teachers that have been with me, my mentees. And that's why I had that, was it a story? Yes, it was a series of stories on Instagram that I asked teachers what podcasts did they usually watch or they usually like. And lots of the teachers actually pointed yours as one of their favorites. So, and then you actually talked to me, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a podcast listener. I don't regularly listen to podcasts, and that's why I had the research done at the stories, because I've got no grounds of you know, I really don't know any podcasts deeply enough to say, oh, I like this style or I like that style better. I really don't know. So it was really nice that lots of teachers suggested me to listen to your podcast, and you also said, oh, I like these and that, but I also have my own. So like, is that the same one that people have been suggesting the past week?
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, some teachers have been suggesting you as well.
That's mind-blowing. I can't believe that. Because sometimes I still think, oh my goodness, nobody's gonna listen to this, but wow, that's amazing. You teachers out there, you guys are just the best. I love all teachers, because it's really a hard job, right? And it's a lot of responsibility. And I admire all teachers out there, because they are truly changing lives, especially teaching English. As I just mentioned, this language can open so many doors. And I have been interviewing so many awesome and incredible teachers in this podcast. Wow, I can't believe that people suggested my podcast. That's amazing. And then now you're here. Okay, what else I have here? Let me see. Oh, okay. So can you share with us your English learning journey? When did you start learning English?
Okay, I was 11. Yes, I was 11. Well, almost nobody in my family speaks English. At the time, surely nobody was. And I've come from, I don't usually say, people usually say, I've come from nothing. I've come from a very poor family. I've come from a poor family. It was just my mother and I. My father passed away when I was very young. I have no siblings. So I've had basics. I never wanted for anything. I never had experienced hunger or stuff like that. But I also never had excesses. So my mother was always very, very specific and very strict to what we could have and the basics that we could have and that we couldn't have anything more than that. So when I was 11, I remember that I asked her that I wanted to study. And I told her that I wanted to study IT and I wanted to study English. Those were the two things I asked her. And IT, I mean, well, at the time, right, it was, I don't even know the year. I'm 34 now. I was 11, so 23, year 2000, probably. Around year 2000, I told her I wanted to study IT. I wanted to study like Windows and Office, right? A Word and PowerPoint and internet. I didn't have a computer back then. We didn't have smartphones back then. We didn't have internet at home back then. And I also told her that I wanted to study English. And then she made me choose one because she didn't think she wouldn't be able to pay for both. So I started with IT because it was like in my block, it was just turning the corner. Just around the corner. And then 6 months later, she saw that I was actually really, you know, trying hard to learn stuff and to do stuff. So she actually told me, okay, so go to English classes as well and study both. So I started when I was 11 in English institutes, really, in Brazil. I'm from Uberlândia in Minas Gerais. So I started there. And I had classes from 11 to the age of... from 11 to 16, yeah, from 11 to 16 years old, around 16 years old. That's when I finished the what they usually call advanced course, which was actually a B1, B1 plus maybe. And after that, I decided I wanted to take the FCE, which was the name of the first, right, from Cambridge texts. And I continued study for the FCE for the first, and I got it when I was 17 years old, if I'm not mistaken. I got it when I was 17. Just it was very nice to remind my own students afterwards, right, when I started teaching when I was 18, that I was the example, I was living proof that you didn't need to go abroad to learn English in a high level, right? And I know that the first in Cambridge is a B2 level, but again when we were talking about 2005 2006, and in my city to have a B2 level in English, it is really high, right? I know that there are C1 and C2, but B2 is really high, and B2 could get me anywhere I wanted. So it was really nice to show my students that I did that, and that they could do that too, you know, that just like me, they didn't have to go on an exchange, they didn't have to travel abroad and stay there and live abroad and stuff like that, or have native teachers, right, native English speaking teachers. They could have a Brazilian teacher speaking English, and that could be enough for them to learn, because all the teachers I had were Brazilian. I did not have a single native English speaking teacher my whole life, so it was a nice experience to share it with the students later. And so I started with English there. I have always loved gaming. I'm a gamer since I was 5 years old, when I got my first video game. And back then, games were really not as easy as they are today, because there were no translations available, right? Back then, the games were in English, and that's it. Sometimes Japanese, but they were in English. Most of them were in English, and that was it. I remember when I was 5 years old, my neighbor went to my father bought the video game. Our neighbor went home and installed it in our very, very old tube TV. And it was Super Mario World, right? And it was really nice because I loved it. I loved it. Like, oh God, I think it was the thing I loved the most when I was in my childhood. I think it was the Super Mario World video game. And I read that manual front to cover to back. So many times. I still remember the manual. I still remember all the drawings of the manual, you know, teaching the stuff of the game. But the manual was in Portuguese, but the game itself was in English. And everything that was written in the video game, I didn't know. And again, we're talking about early 2000. We're talking about mid-90s, right? I was 5 years old. We're talking about mid-90s. 1980s. Back then, there was no internet. I did not have a bilingual dictionary. I did not know that existed. Seriously, it may sound silly, but I did not know that existed. And I did not have a single person that spoke English next to me, near me. So even very, very basic words, I would not understand. I would not know what egg mean, what car mean. I did not know exit, you know, very simple words. And it was very funny because I wanted really badly to understand what the game was trying to say, and I couldn't. I have to infer the meaning of the words and the pronunciation of the words. And I remember that I usually tell people that I became a teacher of English. I became so interested in English because of the box of the video game. The box, yeah. The box of the video game. It was a Super Nintendo, right? The video game. And in the box, the name of the video game in the box is Super NES, N-E-S, Super NES Entertainment System. And I was amazed. I was a child. I was amazed by the word entertainment, because it was like entertainment. What a beautiful word, entertainment. Back then, not with a British accent, but entertainment. I like the entertainment. That at least I knew this word. I knew how to speak back then by accident. And the other word was the Super Mario World game, right? Because the word in American, right? World was a word for me that was so absurd. How can you have four consonants and one vowel in a single word? And how do you pronounce like world? I remember I was like six, 7 years old reading the box. And I was like, world. How do you do R and L together? Like R. I remember I was practicing RL without having any clue that it actually existed. So all of my learning of English and then my consequently teaching of English came from real curiosity from something that I really, really, really loved. That was the games, and rock music. I'm a big Guns N' Roses fan, and I tried to listen to the songs and try to write them by ear, and I was obviously not able to, but I just wrote whatever I heard, and then I tried to sing the songs, not knowing a single word, but I tried to just reading things I heard, you know, not phonetic, obviously, but I tried to read whatever words I wrote there that didn't exist, obviously, but it was really fun at the time. And I think all those things are what helped me to improve and helped me to be able to have confidence and to be able to speak a little bit faster. But I have been trying since I was very young.
Wow, I love that. And I can relate to so many things because I went through a similar process. Okay, so I have a few things that I would like to mention. Sometimes people, they have this misconception that, oh, I need to live abroad in order to learn English. I need to go to an English-speaking country. And I think this is not true because I'm proof that this is possible because I have never been abroad as well. And I was able to learn this language staying here in Brazil, especially nowadays. We have so many resources with the internet, right? So yeah, we don't need specifically travel to an English-speaking country. We can do this from here. And also the idea of I need an English native speaker in order to learn this language. This is another misconception, I think, because 99% of all my English learning journey, it was through communicating with non-native English speakers. Mm-hmm. And it is possible if you have the desire and dedication. And yeah, it can be sometimes quite expensive if you want to have like an English native speaker who offer private classes. Anyway, all that to say that, yes, it is possible to learn from Brazil and you don't need just a native English speaker to be able to learn this language. Absolutely. And the last thing is about games. Wow. Okay. I just went back in time because for me, it was so similar. I remember me, my friends, some cousins, we would go to the library to pick the dictionary to be able to translate everything in the game to be able to understand things because we were really obsessed. And in a way that really helped me, like in a passive way to learn the language. I didn't know that in the future culture, I would use English like in a podcast. I never thought that one day I would speak this language. But yes, using games was a huge part of my English learning journey. And this is to say that sometimes people, they feel discouraged or unmotivated to learn this language. But something that is really simple, is sometimes it's so easy to forget, is find your passion. What is your passion? If you have something that you are really interested in, apply this in your language learning journey, because this will make things so much easier. You will enjoy the process, because this is a hard process. It takes so much time and effort and dedication. You need to be patient, and when you are doing things that you love, you are going to enjoy it. And there is no finish line, right? The language is always evolving, so you need to find things that will motivate you to keep going.
And it's so much easier, right? Nowadays, it's so much easier. So much easier to get English content, so any language content. It's so much easier to get content from absolutely anything you like. You just need to look for it. Just Google it. Just YouTube for it. You know, just Spotify for it. It's so, so much easier. Like you said, you guys went and picked a dictionary and started looking for the words. I did not have even that. You know, I needed to infer all the meanings of all the words without knowing any of them. It's like, I don't know, pick a very, very different language, pick a, I don't know, an European, African, completely different language, and try to infer everything. You don't know a single word. You know, that was the reality back then, before the 2000s. And we could do it back then. But the people nowadays are so, I feel like people nowadays are a bit lazy to do stuff that is handed to them. You know, I've had lots of students, and I always tell them, especially the ones who like the same things I used to like, and I said, dude, you're a gamer. Why on earth are you playing the game in Portuguese? There's absolutely no reason for you to be playing the game in Portuguese. Turn it to English. Why are you watching films and series in Portuguese, dubbed? I mean, seriously, why? First, it sounds better in the native tongue. Second, there is almost a class that's free and handed to you, and you actually want to watch it. Just watch it in English. That there is really this this idea that no, I want to relax, so I'm not going to study. Oh, come on. Those are the moments you should use.
Yeah, I feel like, as at least myself, sometimes when you are getting older, you feel like you are less patient, so you want to achieve things faster. But something like learning a new language, it requires lots of hours. There is no such a thing like fluency in 3 months, right? When I see like advertisement for fluency in 3 months, I mean, this is sad, because this is, I don't know, this is not reachable, I think, like just 3 months. I don't know. Anyway, okay, one last thing that I would like to mention. I remember, like, this was like a huge motivator for me to keep learning this language, because when I was a teenager, I used to play like online games in online servers with people from all around the globe. And me and my friends, we would all go together in this online journey playing strategy games. And then everything was in English. And I remember sometimes I would get so lost, because my friends, they were really good at English and I had no idea what I was doing there. And then people would like think and brainstorm all the strategies and the steps we would have to take during the game. I thought to myself, oh my gosh, what the hell is happening? Please, somebody help me. And that was like, oh man, I need to improve my English skills. I need to understand the heck out of it, because I want to play this game. And music as well. When you told me, like, oh, I used to write, I don't know what I was writing, but I thought that I would be able to sing after I wrote it. That was me as well. I remember in the radio, I would record the song in the radio. That was cassette at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I would listen to it again, and I would, I don't know what language was that. But anyway, that was me attempting to also learn lyrics from songs by listening to them from the radio. Anyway, simple things that can make a huge difference on our language learning journey, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the practice, right? It's how much time you spend with it. Mm-hmm. And again, if it's easy, if you already like it, why not make it in English and just make the best time with the best of your time?
Yeah, okay. Oh my goodness, we are just in question two and we are here for 38 minutes. Okay, so the next question is, walk us through your English learning process. What wooden methods did you use to learn? We already talked about many things, but is there anything that you would like to add that was really helpful during this English learning journey?
As I said, I didn't have any siblings, so I used to be, I still do, I'm usually by myself for a long period of time. That means that since I stay alone or I stand by myself, I usually talk to myself a lot. I do a lot of thinking. I'm constantly talking to myself. And I have always done that. And I have always done that in English. For some reason, I usually think to myself in English, like my alter ego speaks to me in English language. And I remember I was very young. I was like 12, 13 years old. I had just started English course, so I didn't have lots of words and lots of structure to speak what I wanted. But I remember clearly I used to ride a bus every day many times. And I used to be in the bus, like looking out the windows and looking at the stores and looking, well, outside the window of the bus. And I would be thinking about my day. I would be thinking of what I wanted to do, regular thinking I would be doing. I didn't have enough words, so I mixed the words in the sentence, you know, and it sounded like a Frankenstein sentence, you know, but it was really, really nice because that helped me memorize the words, right? I would be practicing them in my mind all the time. So I think this was something that was really a game changer for me, you know, the gaming, the songs that I really loved, and thinking to myself with whatever words in English I had, and when I didn't have, I used Portuguese in the middle of the sentence, and it was all right. I really liked that. I miss that sometimes. I do that in Spanish nowadays. When I try to,
So do you know other languages besides English, Spanish? Or just
no? Mention? I've been to a few Spanish-speaking countries, and in my nomad life, I stayed in Argentina for 2 months, so I needed to speak Spanish with them, or try to, because I really don't speak a very good Spanish, but I need at least to try to speak Spanish with people, and so I'm back to doing that, but now in Spanish, right? When the words I know, they come out in Spanish, the words I don't know, they come out in Portuguese, and that's fine.
I love that, and I am not even surprised, because I heard so many people telling me the same, that they would speak with themselves, which is an amazing strategy, right? And I always tell people, why you don't record yourself, maybe, and put out there, start your podcast. That would be amazing, so other people can listen to it. I'm always talking about the idea of creating projects to learn a new skill, especially a new language. You can put into practice in a project form, and I love this idea, because this is something that I've been doing for a long time, doing projects to improve my English. Awesome. Okay, I have this question here. It's about online courses, which you are like a specialist. And I truly hope that maybe people who are listening to it, they can take English or any skill that they have, it transform in something like passive income. It's something that I've been interested in, like creating something that you can have some passive income and you don't need too much. Like if you have knowledge and a skill that you can teach to other people, why not maybe create a course related to it? So that's why I'm excited that you are here, and I'm excited to ask you this question. So I would like to create my first online course to help English learners. Do you have any advice for someone who is just starting on this online course journey?
I have plenty, but if I'm going to pick out the most interesting or the most important one, I'd go with figure out and draw the specific line that in which you really solve your target audience problem, right? It may sound obvious, but it really isn't. When you go, when you get onto it, when you start writing, and really writing, not just thinking, when you start writing about it, you're going to see that it's really not that easy. Because most teachers aren't really prepared for marketing. They're prepared for teaching, right? So when they go on marketing and then head to advertise their own things, It's really common that teachers focus on their classes and not on their goals of their students. It's weird because when they are actually teaching, 100% of the focus is on the goals of the students. But when they are marketing themselves, they don't focus on the goals of the students. And always think about everything you do from the client's perspective. So the client doesn't really want to know if your material, if the textbooks you use, if the materials you use are authentic or not. That really doesn't matter in the mind of your future student, in the minds of your target audience. What your target audience actually wants to know is, I have this problem. Studying with you, is it going to solve my problem? And that's it. So if you find a way to show people that don't know you yet, or people that might get referred to you, if you find a way to show them that what you do actually solves their problem, and if you tell them how it solves their problem, not by dictating what your work is like, but how for them it's going to change and it's going to solve their problem, that is what is going to make them interested in buying from you. And again, it sounds obvious, but when you get down to writing it, it really, really isn't, because it's all about thinking with the mind of someone else. It's all about thinking of, okay, what would the person like to read? What would the person like to read? Okay, so it's nice to have testimonials from other students who studied with me, but how would a person who does not know me, how would this person like to get in touch with that testimonial? Is it a video? But how would be a good option for this video? Is it a podcast? But how would be a good way to show them a podcast? So you see, everything is always, okay, so I'm going to do that. How is the optics of that through the lenses of someone who is probably wanting this? You see, so after that, if you start from that, I'm sure that you're going to get somewhere.
I love that. And something that I learned in your videos that you talk about is the idea of being specific, right? Because sometimes we are really broad when we have ideas to, let's say, an online course, English course. But okay, English course, it can be a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. You could be specific, like English course for someone who's traveling to the US. Get really specific, like choose your niche. This is gonna help you to, yeah, I think, get clients who are not only wanting to know everything, because what is everything? It's a lot, right? To create a course about everything, you can start small, like
right
into pieces. Absolutely. And I love that.
If you go too broad, if you go too general, you're battling everybody, right? You have a lot of everybody is your competitor. If you niche down a bit, you're going to have less clients, because now you're going to have clients that are interested in that niche that you picked, but you also have a lot less competition. So, and it's much easier for you to focus and to produce something that might actually be able to help your students. Right. So if you go too broad, it's too much of work. And it's, I usually tell something like this. I have this comparison. If you go too broad, if you go too general, it's like if you have a lot of small dripping content. So you're going to find lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds and lots of different interests. And they might come to you and they might take a course. It's going to be a few people from very different backgrounds. But if you niche down, the more you niche down, the more specific people are going to come. So you're going to not be very interesting for people from other niches, but from those who are actually wanting that thing in a specific, they are much more prone to being interested by you, right? So that's the thing. And when you niche down, you have much less possibilities. You have much less areas of interest to pick the student's interests, but you are now seen as some kind of an important figure in that specific niche. So we're going to talk about podcasts for English learners. So am I going to look for, and I want to learn about podcasting, and I want to learn about podcasting for students. Am I going to talk with Thales, or am I going to talk with somebody who is a professional podcaster in general terms for, I don't know, comedy? Does a comedy podcaster, professional podcaster, does a comedy professional podcaster, is this comedy podcaster podcaster better than you to teach me? Probably not, because even though they know about their craft, they know about the work, they know about everything that needs to be done, you probably know more about the niche in itself. So it's much better for me to look for you than to look for a general professional. Mm-hmm. You see,
yeah. I just had an idea for a course, because people always ask me, how do I start a podcast? I don't know, people, they see me as like, I don't know, a professional or a specialist of podcasting. Oh man, I'm gonna start lots of course after this conversation. And you have a course, how do we start, like your course from zero or something like that? I'm gonna buy this course in the future.
I do. Yeah. There's one, it's called Pacote Professor Produtor. It's the one in which I teach how I run my own campaigns in the prof. It's really easy to do, actually. You know, it's not a very long course. You can do it in a week if you really apply yourself to it. You can do it in a week, and then the work starts. And if you got the course in less than a month, your course is up and running, and you could also you could already be selling them.
Awesome. Okay, I think I'm gonna skip a question. Okay, let's talk about tools. In your opinion, what tools and online platforms teachers should use, or at least try?
That's nice because especially before the pandemic, we already had lots of interesting tools. But after the pandemic, there were like a boom of new tools that were coming out. And I'm not sure if I could name a few names, but obviously there are some things that you can't ignore. You can't ignore Zoom, for example. There is a video conference tool. You can't ignore Google Meet. You can't ignore a few platforms that are amazing and very well known, you know, like Hoot, like Wordball, which are amazing platforms for you to use because they are very versatile, right? You can use them for very different kinds of things inside the classroom and for any kind of topic you want. But nowadays I'm going to be forced here to suggest two platforms. First one are platforms related to AIs, right? Artificial intelligences. We cannot ignore AIs any further. I think that we've come to a point in which AIs are so strong that we really cannot ignore them, right? It's like the internet in the 2000s. We can't ignore it. We have to embrace it somehow. And the first one is ChatGPT, obviously. People need to know how to work with ChatGPT and the likes, right? And other platforms like it. Because I usually tell people that if you're not teachers, right? If you're not using ChatGPT, rest assured that your students are. So if you're still sending the same kind of exercise you were last year, well, your students are using ChatGPT to answer the questions. You know, because we are lazy people, we're humans. So your students are using ChatGPT if you're not. So it comes down to a point that we have been discussing for decades, right? That the teachers need to be more interactive, that the teachers need to make more engaging classes, and the classes need to be less mechanical and more interactive and make students try to think for themselves and try to explain themselves and debate stuff. Well, it comes to a point that now we actually have to teach classes like that, because if we don't, well, the ChatGPT is going to answer your lessons and your students won't learn anything. And second of all, I have to advertise something of my own. Nice. I've got Teach Plus, which is a book platform for English textbooks. So English teachers anywhere, not just in Brazil, English teachers anywhere, they can just go on the internet, go web, and go to teachplus.com.br. It's got .br at the end because it's a Brazilian platform, but it's accessible from anywhere in the world. Teachplus.com.br is a platform in which my partners and I, we write English textbooks, and we offer them for a monthly subscription. So it's much cheaper than getting actual, like, internationally recognized books, like Oxford, like Cambridge books. and you've got a library of books for a very accessible price. And the students don't pay, just the teacher. So it's really nice. You can offer materials for free for students. And also there are samples that are free. So teachers can just go online, they can just go to the platform and register themselves for a free account and take a look at the samples of the books and see if they like stuff. But it's really nice. Of course, I'm biased to say it, but it's really nice. Teachers that have been writing the books. I'm not an author, so we hire teachers. So really nice teachers that have been writing the books. Really nice touch, especially specifically for Brazilian teachers are going to find the books, all the series, really interesting because we tried to make the books focused on how Brazilians would like to learn English. So the dialogues, all the texts, all the vocabulary that we show in the books. They are a bit directed to more to Brazilian students, you know. So instead of showing how a text depicting Mary and John who live in Australia and they have a dog, instead of showing that, we show how a Brazilian person, how a Brazilian employee of an IT company would talk with a boss that is from abroad, for example, right? So we've got really nice books. There is one called Key Market that's from Business English. From A1 to B1. It's amazing. We don't usually have business English material for real beginners, right? So I'm really biased to say, but it's a good material. And people just go on teachplus.com.br and take a look. You can use it for free before you buy something. So it's really nice.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. You guys, I'm going to put all the links in the description of this episode so you guys can check it out. So thanks for sharing, Teacher Vinny. I so appreciate it. And let me tell you, I was watching some of your videos on Instagram and you made like a video to advertise your course about ChatGPT. I even put this in my notes because, yes, this is something that we cannot ignore. This is the new feature, the new thing that is exploding out there. And I remember I read a comment of a teacher saying, "I am addicted to your courses." So this is an amazing testimonial and review. I love that. And you have many courses.
I've got a I don't have the specific number, but it's a bit over 70 courses that I've created by now. So, of all possible ways, you know, I've got very long courses, I've got very small courses, I've got cheap courses, I've got more expensive courses, I've got courses recorded in which they're all recorded, like the ChatGPT course is all recorded. I've got a few live ones, I've got a few hybrid in which most of the course is recorded, but we also have live sessions every month. I've got a lot of things ready and working. My most important course nowadays is MAC, right? My mentoring program. It's called Missão Agenda Cheia, MAC. And MAC is a hybrid course, so it's got I think about 50 or 60 hours of recorded content. And also we have at least two meetings on Zoom with the mentees every month. So it's hybrid because the part recorded and part live. Oh, I love it. I really, really love it. And I usually get these messages like those, like that one that you read. I'm addicted to your courses because I've got it's really not a surprise to see a single teacher, a specific teacher with the tens of my courses. You know, I've got lots, really lots of teachers, like hundreds of teachers who've got over tens of my courses. I've got teachers with 12 who've had 20 or 30 of my courses. I have three teachers now. I've got three teachers now that have bought over 40 of my courses throughout
It's
the years.
amazing.
It's 9 years, right? But it's really nice. Really nice. It shows that I'm doing a good job. Right, people keep coming
Yes.
back. People keep buying back and keep following me. It's so rewarding to know that the same professional has been following you for like 5, 6, 7 years. I've got some people that have been following me since the very beginning. I used to have long hair and I used to be very bad, but there are some people that have been following me for almost 9 years since I started. and they're still talking to me, and they're still buying things from me, and they're still, you know, engaging with things I do. It's really rewarding. It's really, really nice.
You are making a huge difference, and you are producing content that is worth it. That's why people keep coming back. And we appreciate you for doing this, because as I mentioned before, like, the reality in our country when it comes to English fluency is quite bad, right? And you are helping teachers to make their profession better so they can keep it going.
Yeah, you see, there's the stigma, the social stigma, and it's not just in Brazil, it's anywhere in the world, that the teachers are always the unprivileged, right? They're always the ones who nearly kill themselves working and who make very little pay at the end of the month. And I don't like it. I can't have it, you know, and that's why that's why it's so complicated to do the courses I do, because like I said, I talk about money all the time. I talk about marketing all the time. I stopped teaching English to actually teach teachers how to market themselves, how to make more money, how to have more time, how to make their lives and their jobs a bit better. And when I started, there was no one, right? There was one teacher, Leila Stoic from Udemy. There was just Leila who used to do, which was also starting with me. And nowadays there are more teachers who also help teachers, but back then, regarding marketing, not regarding pedagogical, didactical things, right? Regarding marketing, regarding the business aspect of being a teacher and being of a school owner, there were nearly nobody doing that. And it's really, really nice to be the person who opens up a live video and starts talking to teachers and tell them, like, I used to tell teachers all the time, like, dude, you're actually wasting money. You're actually wasting opportunities. You're actually... Last Thursday, I was in a live video on YouTube, and there was this teacher. She sent a message saying, after the pandemic, things turned a very bad turn. Took a very bad turn for me, and I didn't have any new students after the pandemic. I said, dude, you're doing something really wrong. Like, get in touch with me. Yeah, I'm going to show you a few free stuff. I'm going to show you a few paid stuff as well, because I'm not an ONG, right? An NGO, right? I also make money from it. But I'm going to show you that there are ways, you know, if you are a language teacher and you're not able to make things work and you actually have the energy to put into the work, dude, there are ways. There are ways you can get students. There are ways you don't have to show your face if you don't want to. It's better if you do. But you don't really need if you don't want to. You can create courses. You can do so many different things. You know, you can edit textbooks. You can create exercise for exams. You can do so many different things. You know, but don't, I really hate it. All the years in which those awards of the Teacher of the Year, and the Teacher of the Year award always goes to that teacher who's very poor and who works in a school in the heart of the Amazon rainforest. And to get to the school, they need to walk like 3 hours and many, many kilometers and skip a creek and I don't know, fight an alligator in the process, you know, and then get into the school that is falling apart and barely has a blackboard and chalk to write in. It's not that I don't validate the effort of this teacher. This teacher is amazing. It's a super person, right? This is nearly an angel that's there. But it does not have to be that way. And I think this is the most important message I want to get across to teachers. It does not have to be that way. You can be a teacher and make a lot of money. You can be a teacher and hire other teachers and make money not teaching. You know, you it's really important to somehow plant the idea in teachers' minds that they can make more money and work less. It's possible. Yeah. Yes, they're going to have to change a few beliefs. Yeah, they're going to have to change bits of their practice, but it's possible. And I've seen it happen hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times, because, well, I've been in this job for 9 years, so I've had thousands of mentees. And it is possible.
Yeah. It's amazing that there are a lot of paths that teachers can follow to take their business to the next level. But the key thing is to seek knowledge, right? Knowledge will not fall from the sky. You need to be proactive, right? And seek knowledge. And I had to skip like a marketing question, but I love the idea that it is important marketing, because you can have the best course in the whole world, but you need to share with people out there. You need to market it yourself. You need to let people know that what you created exists. So yeah, I truly believe in marketing, especially with social media nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
People live on social media. We need to be there to share our content.
Okay. Most of the most selling courses out there are not the best ones. I can assure you 100%. Most of the most selling courses are not the best ones. They are the best selling ones because whoever is selling them is really good. But and the idea of, oh, a bad course will not last long in the market. Yes, it will. If you market it well enough, yes, it will. Remember that the world is not your neighborhood. The world is really big, and yes, it's going to keep selling even if it's not that good.
Yeah, true. So, Vinny, I'm so sorry. We are here for 1 hour and 7 minutes. I would love to go through the rapid fire questions. Is that okay? You can answer this question super quick.
All right.
So our listeners can know a little bit more about you.
Okay. Go on.
Okay, so let's wrap it up with the rapid fire question segment. You can answer this question super quick, but feel free to expand any of them, okay?
Okay, go on.
Okay, number one, let's say your best friend called and said, hey, let's go out and grab something to eat. I will pay for everything. You can eat as much as you can. Plus, you can choose a place. Where would you go and what would you eat?
There's this place in Uberlândia called Estância do Cupim. I really love it there. Really love it. Meat. I love meat. I love red meat. God, I love red meat. And I love chocolate. But that place, Estância do Cupim, I really like it.
Awesome. Okay, your birthday was coming and someone from your family decided to give you as a gift a whole trip to any place inside your country. Where would you go?
That is a tricky question because I just finished my nomad life and I actually went to all the cities I was really curious of going. But one, I did not go to Maceió. So I would like to go to Maceió. It's the one city that I really wanted to go and I didn't yet. I haven't yet.
Okay, you just touched in something. I had to skip this question, but let me ask you, because now I'm curious. You just said that you finished your nomad life. What does that mean? Did you settle? Like, where are you in the world right now? Because I heard you on a podcast telling, oh, I am living this digital nomad life because I'm doing research to find a place for me to live. And I thought that was a really amazing view, like going to places to search as a digital nomad and then to find your one place. Where are you?
Yeah, it's because I'm from Uberlândia in Minas Gerais, right? Uh-huh. And I like the city, but I don't like the cultural aspects of the city. Uh-huh. You know, if you don't like country music, do not go to Uberlândia at all, because there's all you're going to listen there. There's not a lot of offers on theaters and on cinemas, and the cultural aspects of the city is very poor. You know, they don't have a lot of possibilities of different cultural possibilities, and I really, really like that. So my nomad was, I sold everything, sold car, sold house, sold furniture, sold everything. I packed my entire life into a big suitcase and a big bag and a backpack, right? And that includes my computers, my second screen, my microphone, my webcam, everything I need to work, and a tennis racket because I like to play. So that includes everything. And I started traveling to find the city that I wanted to live in because I didn't like my hometown, right? So I went to many different cities in Brazil and in South America, and that I wanted to live in South America. I had this in mind. So now I'm actually very close to you.
Oh,
I'm in
my
Porto
gosh.
Alegre.
Really?
Yes, I decided to come here. Yeah.
You are living in Porto Alegre. That's amazing.
I'm in Porto Alegre. I just got here about nearly a month ago. I was here in November, from November to February, to test out the city. I really liked it. And now I'm back. back now indefinitely.
Wow.
So now I got a place. I had to buy all the furniture and stuff. But I'm Porto Alegre now.
That's amazing. I heard you saying, I don't remember the name of the podcast, but you were talking about that you really liked Porto Alegre. But I'm surprised that you ended up here. That's awesome. Welcome to my state.
Thanks.
I'm not sure when I'm gonna go to Porto Alegre, but if I go there, I will send you a message. Maybe we can
when
hang
you
out.
Do
that would be
give
amazing.
Me a shout out. Yeah, when you do, give me a hi.
Awesome. Okay. Number three, what's one of your favorite things to do in your spare time?
Gaming. I love gaming. I really, really love gaming to this day. It's my relaxation things. You know, I relax when I play games and it takes my mind off things. So I really like gaming, video gaming, right? Video gaming. My girlfriend loves it too. So it's really nice. We do it together. I love it that we do it together, actually. And I also, like I said, I'm not sure if I can say I play tennis. I try to, because it's a very hard sport. It's a really hard sport. So I try to, and I always try to. All the cities I went to when I was traveling, I stayed for about 2 months in each city. In all of them, I found a tennis coach and I had classes. So I had classes with many different tennis coaches in the past 2 years. But I really like video gaming and tennis.
Awesome. What kind of TV series and movies do you like to watch?
I love comedies. I like sitcoms. I really like sitcoms. I really like everything epic, like fantasy, right? Like The Witcher stuff, Wheel of Time, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. Yeah, I'm going to go with these two. I don't like horror. So apart from horror, I'm up to anything, but I really, really like comedy, sitcoms, and fantasy stuff, epic stuff.
This is where we differ. I love horror.
Oh, but no.
I love fantasy. I love comedy, all that stuff, but I also love horror.
No. Absolutely not.
Is there a song that never gets old to you?
It's a song that I've actually heard it for the first time, weirdly enough, about 3 years ago. But it's like the song I've brought to heart. I listen to it most days in a week because it brings a message that I need to keep reminding myself. It's Vienna from Billy Joel. Vienna is an amazing song. And even if you guys out there who are listening to me right now, even if you know the song, go online and look for the meaning of the song. It's amazing. Vienna, it's a city right in Austria, but actually in the song, Vienna means old age. And it's when you understand the meaning of the name Vienna, not as a city, but as old age. And it has a story that the Billy Joel's father got old, and when he grew old, he went to Vienna and he started living in Vienna in his old days. And the author would go there and talk to his father and see how he was living there. And then Vienna became from him like a metaphor for old age. So it's really nice when you understand it that way.
Wow. I think this is the best answer that we got from this music question, because
it has a deep
meaning.
Song.
I love that. I'm going to check it out. I don't know the song yet. I'm going to check it out later. Thanks for sharing. Is there a book that you have read more than once?
I am definitely a gamer and not a bookworm. This is one of the things that I'm throughout my life. It's one of the things that I used to be most embarrassed about, because people used to ask me about books and I would go like, I don't usually read books. But you graduated in language arts. Yes, and I don't like reading books. I only read books that are somehow practical enough. It's not that I don't like reading. I don't like reading books. I read a lot of things every day, but I don't like reading books. The one book I read more than once was O Segredo de Luiza in Portuguese from, I forgot the name of, something Dolabella. I forgot his first name now. I forgot his first name now. But anyway, O Segredo de Luiza is a book about how a teenage girl, a young adult girl, who was from Minas Gerais, by the way, it's a coincidence. She used to work in a small shop from her grandmother, and she learned how to make some sweets. And she decided to start her own company and her own factory, producing and selling those sweets. And it's a fictional story. Louisa doesn't exist. But at the same time, this book shows you alongside the story, there are many points throughout the book that it's like a business class. So when she decides, I want to do that. And then there is this small box in the book that says, okay, so this is da-na-na, da-na-na, this means that. And to do that, you do this and that. So it's at the same time a fictional book and a very explaining book about business. I really recommend it, O Segredo de Luiza. It's not a very long book, but it's a really good one.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
I've read the second book. I just asked one, but Pai Rico, Pai Pobre, I'm not sure the name of that in English. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, maybe? I'm not sure what's the name of that in English, but Pai Rico, Pai Pobre from Robert Kiyosaki. It's another book that changed my perspective of everything, really, of everything. It's really, really good book.
Amazing. Okay, who has influenced your language learning journey the most?
That is a tricky question. Maybe a few of my teachers. There is actually a different answer for that. I can tell you who has influenced my current English the most, because right now I try to speak more of the British accent simply because I like it. There is absolutely no other reason. I simply like it. And when I was learning, I was learning in well, I used English file, right, for most of my days when I was a student. So it was British, and my teachers used to speak American English. So it was maybe a mix of both of them. But when after I went to Europe, I went to England, I went to Scotland, and I really liked it there. I really liked the way they used to talk. I said, you know what, I'm going to try and go towards a more British accent, and which I have been doing for a few years now. And the person who has inspired me to do that was Fernando Guarani, who is an amazing teacher, a guy, someone that I really, really like. You know that person that even if you don't talk to very often, at least once a year, you send a message and say, "Yay, hey, buddy, what's up? Tell me about your life, what you're doing, where you're living." You know, he's a teacher. He's a very high level teacher in Brazil. As a consultant, he's good. The guys look for him later, and he has a pronunciation that I really love. He loves doing voices and doing accents and stuff like that, and his pronunciation is a bit to the British side, and I really love his pronunciation. Really, really love his pronunciation. You know that guy, the person that you would just say like, just speak, just speak. Get a book and read it out loud, just because I like the sound of your voice and the way you pronounce words. That's him. So I would say him.
It's amazing. I love that. And one of my mentors, like someone who I learned English from and that I bought their courses, is Stephanie, the English coach. I love
Okay.
all her work and I participated in many of her courses. And she always talked about this idea of choosing a role model, right? Pick someone who you like the pronunciation, the sound of their voice, the way that they speak, so you can shadow them. This is a really nice activity that you
Yeah.
can do to improve.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, last one. If you had to create one law or rule that every language learner should follow, what would that be?
You must not watch anything translated. You must not use dubbing. You must not, you must listen to, you must watch and listen to whatever you're watching or listening in the native tongue, in the tongue that it was designed to, destined to, because that was the idea of it, right? And it sounds better. Come on, it sounds
Yes.
better.
I hope that people in the cinema are listening to this because it's so sad when I want to watch a movie and everything is dubbed. It's so sad. Like just one session, like the last one is in English, and sometimes there is no session in English, which is kind of sad. Anyway.
You know what? I actually understand why cinemas do it, because most people do not want to learn English. So that's fine. Watch it dubbed, no problem. But if you are a language student, dude, you have no other way. You know, there is no excuse for you not to watch things in English.
Okay. So if someone is interested in working with you and checking out your online courses, where should they go?
Oh, nice. You're going to look for de prof para prof. And it's a tongue twister in Portuguese. If you try to speak it really fast three times, times you can't, but it's also very self-explanatory, right? Go for de prof para prof. With you're going to write it down afterwards. It's very complicated for English speakers. But de prof para prof is on Instagram and is on YouTube mainly. And you can also find me at the website, profpraprof.com.br. A few of my courses are available at the website, only the most important ones right now. The mentoring program, MAC, Missão Agenda Cheia, is there. The ChatGPT course with AIs is also there. The Pacote Professor Produtor, we talked about before, how to create your own course and stuff, is also there. There is Box Essencial, which is my most sold product ever. I think I've got about over 2,000 teachers who already got it. I think over 2,500, something like that, which is a package of many different files of contract, Excel spreadsheets, and Google spreadsheets, slides for commercial propositions. And well, that's a lot of, there's about 50 different files. And it's really good. It's really cheap. And you can also find me now on at teachplus.com.br, right, which is the book platform I mentioned earlier. There I'm not alone. There I've got partners, I've got other people working with me, but you can also get in touch with me by there. So if you type my name, Vini Diamantino, on Google, you're certainly to find all of those. Or if you type de prof para prof on Google, you're also going to find all of those.
Awesome. I'm gonna link everything in the show notes. So Vini, you have been so kind with your time. Thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate it. I had a blast. I feel like we could stay here for more 2 hours. Thank you so much. Absolutely. For your time and for being part of the podcast. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation, and we'll keep going those 2 hours when you come to Porto Alegre.
Oh yes. And then we can go and watch a movie in English.
In English, yeah, please.
Awesome. So have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will talk with you soon. Bye bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you can, please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to the show so you can get notified when I release new episodes. And feel free to leave a review. I would love to read it. Now I have a message for you. Remember this, you don't have to be alone when learning a new language. You can find awesome communities to be part of. The number one reason why I was able to level up my English is because I decided to get out of my comfort zone and connect with language learners from all around the globe. So, if you have been struggling to improve your speaking skills, and if you can't find someone else to have a conversation, I want to encourage you to participate in our online encounters and to join our global community on Telegram. Since June of 2020, I've been organizing English speaking sessions on Zoom for us to hang out. In there, you can meet new people, make new friends, and practice English while having fun. If you can't use Telegram, don't worry. I always announce our encounters on social media, and you can always DM me so I can send you the link to our meetings. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.